Okay, let's make a start. First of all, good morning to everybody. I hope you're all doing well. I hope that you're keeping well. I hope that your families are keeping well. I want to dedicate this year as a chutz for a refuah shalema to all of those who are in need of a refuah shalema, which is quite a lot of people, unfortunately, today. Hang on, am I muted? Let's make sure that I'm not muted there. Okay, fine. Hopefully that works now. Also, as a schutz le'ilu nishmatam for all of those people who have unfortunately passed away. But please God, we should have the surah tovot. We should keep well, and we should hear only good news in the Hashem in the coming weeks. The topic that I'd like to cover with you today is actually, I think, really fascinating. I want to talk about charoset. Now, I must give you an initial caveat. I am not an expert charoset maker. I leave the charoset making to those who know far more about it than me, which usually is my wife and my daughter. But we will be talking a little bit about recipes as we go through, because you can't talk about charoset without talking about how you make charoset. But I want to talk much more about the symbolism, how it works, what it means, this thing that we all love and we eat and we probably eat too much of when we're having the Seder. What is it all about? Why do we have this? What's going on with this charoset? So what I want to do with you, if just to map out what I want to do over the next 45, 50 minutes, in Yitzhak Hashem, is to talk about where charoset appears in the Gemara, okay? The reasons the Gemara gives for the charoset, we'll see that according to one, the title of the shir that I gave is charoset mitzvah minhag or medicine. In fact, I've learned how to do something quite clever. What I'm actually going to do is for any of those who have, David already put it up. Excellent. David put up the link to the Makoros so you can download it from the chat. If you go on the Zoom, the group chat, you should be able to get the Makoros there. There are also other ways to get the Makoros. I will send it through to you as well like this. One second. I should be able to do something quite clever here. So there's also a file for those of you who are tech savvy and are able to access the group chat. There's now a file on the group chat as well, which is today's Makoros, but I'll be putting them on the screen anyway, so you'll be able to see them soon. So again, the title of the shir is Charoset Mitzvah, Minhag or Medicine. And we're going to see a little bit of all of those three and some fascinating opinions of the Rambam and Rav Soloveitchik as to how all of that works. So let's start from the very beginning. I'm going to bring up the sheet in front of everybody so that you can see it. Okay, you should be able to see it now. Hopefully that will be working well for you. Okay, let's close everything else down that we don't need. Okay, one second. Everyone has to turn into a computer engineer now in order to give a shir, but that's okay. That's okay as well. Okay, let's start from the very beginning. Charoset. Charoset is obviously not mentioned at all in the Chumash, in terms of the food that we eat on Seder night. The word charoset is not mentioned in Tanakh anywhere, but the word cheres, which of course means clay, is a place name, and we'll see that clay features quite strongly in all of this. And clay cheres, kli, as in the Hebrew word clay cheres, are mentioned hundreds of times in the Talmud as earthenware or clay vessels. The word charoset itself is mentioned in the Mishnah, in Pesachim, before we get to the Seder night, in the second chapter, if you look with me here, in source number one. Says the Mishnah, Ein noisnim kemach l'toch charoset. You're not allowed on Pesach, this has nothing to do with Seder, you're not allowed to put kemach, flour, into charoset. Or l'toch charoset, into mustard. What is charoset? So the Baal Tanura there says, Dava sheyesh b'chometz, he says it has vinegar in it, umayim and water in it, va'asui l'tabel bo basar. And it's there as a dip. Charoset is a dip, it seems, which is based in, it's liquidy, it's got chometz, it's got vinegar, and it's got water. We'll see it's got an awful lot more than that soon as well. Okay, let's go to source number two. Source number two is the actual Seder of the night of Leil HaSeder. And the Mishnah talks about how things work. We've made Kiddush, we've had the first cup, last week we spoke about grape juice and wine, etc. Look at what happens now. Heviu lefanav. I'm going to read 2 and 3 in conjunction with each other, because 3 is the Bar Tanura on number 2. They bring out to the leader of the Seder, what do they bring out? Something. Says the Batanur, Yirakot. They bring out vegetables. This is what you and I call karpas. Kadesha yakid tinok v'yishot. So that the child will ask and say, what's going on? Why are we having vegetables before the meal? If you say, derech la'avi yirakot kamasuda. We don't normally bring out vegetables before the meal. Okay, good. So we bring out the vegetables. Matabe v'chazeret. We dip with the chazeret. Now the chazeret is normally what we use, the name we use for the maror. We dip with the vegetable. Actually, megila parperes hapas. Until we get to the parperes hapas. What's going on here? We dip with the vegetable. So the Barthanura says, lav dafka b'chazeret. Doesn't have to be with the maror. The tibul rishon zeh havi b'shar yirakot. Because actually, you can do this first dipping with any vegetable you like. I saw a very interesting shaila that was asked on the Alon Shvut group. One of the people in Alon Shvut wanted to do karpas with fried chips. I don't know if anyone's ever thought of this. The truth is that you can have any vegetable which is bravery hadama for karpas. Okay, so most people use parsley, or they use a little bit of celery or something like that. Some people use bananas. Bananas are also bravery hadama. So someone suggested, the children are hungry, I want to bring out fried chips. So chips to everybody for karpas. Okay, I don't know if that's exactly in the spirit of karpas, but okay, that's an idea. You might want to serve chips as well at your Seder. Anyway, fine. So let's go back to the sheet. So you go, we dip the karpas. Back in the sheet again, hopefully you can see that. And then, hey, veal, the fan of matzah. Then they bring matzah, chazeret, maror, that's the lettuce. Charoses, v'shnei tavshilin, and the two cooked foods. Okay. Now, this is the key for our shir now. Then now the Mishnah goes on to say, afal pi she'ein charoses mitzvah, even though the charoses is not a mitzvah, we still bring it anyway. Now, if it's not a mitzvah, there must be a reason why we're bringing it, the Gemara will ask. Rabbi Eliezer bar Tzadok Omer, mitzvah, Rabbi Eliezer bar Tzadok says, no, it is a mitzvah. It is a mitzvah to eat charoses. So we'll see, if it's a mitzvah, why don't we make a bracha? Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al achilas charoses. So we'll see. We don't make a bracha, but why, we'll see soon. U'b'migdash, and in the time of the migdash, how you may deem lefanu gruvashal pesach. This is where they brought the korban pesach. We always have to remember of Seder night, there's something missing from the middle of the room. There's something missing from the table. There should be an animal there, a little lamb, which is roast, that we can take little bits of to eat with our shawarma, and our lettuce and our pita, as it were, our matzah. We'll get to hot matzah in a minute. But at this point, they brought the charoses. So the Gemara says in number three, Hayviu lefanav, number four, excuse me. So we've seen that they brought the charoses, and there are two different opinions. One opinion is it's not a mitzvah. One opinion is it is a mitzvah. So let's have a look at those opinions in more detail. Says the Gemara, Afal pisha einu charoses mitzvah. Even though the charoses is not a mitzvah. Says the Gemara, the ila if eloi mitzvah. If it's not a mitzvah, mishumai maisila. Why would we possibly bring charoses if it wasn't a mitzvah? So Rabbi Ami answers, mishum kappa. I want you to focus on this word here, kappa. Mishum kappa. What is kappa? The Gemara is going to go into, and the Mephoroshim are going to go into details of what kappa is. But the first opinion is that we bring charoses not because it's a mitzvah, but because of kappa. We'll see more soon. Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Tzadok amar mitzvah. Rabbi Eliezer ben Rabbi Tzadok says it is a mitzvah. Okay, my mitzvah. What mitzvah is it? Where does it say anywhere that you have to bring kappa? Rabbi Levi Omer, Rabbi Levi says, zecher le tapuach. It's to remember the tapuach. Now, what is a tapuach? So everybody's saying it's an apple. No, it might not be an apple. We'll see soon. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Rabbi Yochanan says, Zecher letit. Tit, we know what that is. It's mud. It's cement. It's a remembrance of the cement. Amar Abaya, Rabbi says, Hilkach, therefore, since it's because of the apples, let's say apples for now, and because of the cement, Tzarech likihue, you have to make it tart, sharp a little bit, but Tzarech lisemuche, and you have to make it thick a little bit. It's meant to symbolize those two things. Likihue, you have to make it tart, Zecher letapuach, because it's a zecher to the tapuach, we'll not translate it for now. But tarach lisemuche, and you have to make it thick, zecher letir, to remember the cement. Tani kevati de Rabbi Yochanan, we saw an opinion, a brisa that follows the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, who was the one, if you remember, that said that it's zecher letir, and you have to put in something stringy in your charoses. Tavlin, You have to put in spices, zeichel etzeven, to remind you of the straw that the Egyptians made them collect to make into the bricks. Charoses, and you have to have the charoses zeichel etzit. And finally, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadok, this opinion that said it's a mitzvah, he brings a proof from the custom in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. He says, Kach haya oimrim tagrei cherech b'Yerushalayim. This is how the small traders, the small shopkeepers used to announce on the marketplace in the week before Seder. They used to shout out as people walked through the market, Bol v'tzlu lachem, go and come and get here for yourselves, tavlin spices lemitzvah, for the mitzvah. And they used to say, this is what people used to sing, or used to shout out, come and get spices for the mitzvah, come and get spices for the mitzvah. He says, you see from here that charoset must be a mitzvah. The spices that they're talking about are the stringy spices that they put in the charoset. What I think is fascinating here is that you see in the Gemara a proof, halachic proof being brought from the minhag of the shopkeepers in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. This is how they used to announce to get people to come in and to do their things before Pesach. And he says, you see from here, the Jewish people are im lav nevein, im loy nevim heim, b'nei nevim heim. Even if they're not prophets, they are, if you like, trainee prophets. They know that charoses is a mitzvah, that's why he paskens this way. Fine. So where are we so far? Two basic approaches. Number one, charoses is not a mitzvah, it's for kappa. We'll define that right now. Number two, charoses is a mitzvah, and what is it for? The tapuach and the tit, and maybe we'll see other things as well. Let's talk about kappa. What is kappa? So I'm going to put you back on the sheet again, and you'll be able to see the different opinions about what kappa really is. Have a look in number five here. Hai chasa, says the Gemara, this lettuce that we use, and by the way, lettuce is the, when I was growing up, morol was usually horseradish. And my grandfather, Alav Shalom, used to be able to eat large amounts of horseradish without it apparently doing him any significant harm. Today most people use lettuce. We use lettuce with a little bit of horseradish in it, but the main opinion here is chasa, which is lettuce. So this lettuce, says the Gemara, tzarech lishkoye b'charoses. You have to, from the word sheka, shkia, you have to really dip it deep into the charoses. Why? Mishum kappa. Because of the kappa. So what's kappa? So I want to give you five different opinions as to what, or four main opinions of what kappa is. The first opinion is Rashi. Rashi says that kappa is an antidote to some kind of dangerous poison or liquid in the lettuce. Or in the maror. Mishum kappa, says Rashi, serafa chazeret kasher, the sap, the liquid inside the lettuce, or whatever vegetable they're using there, is dangerous, it's kasher. V'yesh ba'eres. And there is a poisonous, I'm not sure it's like a life-threatening poison, but there is a poisonous element to the maror, and therefore when you dip it in the charoses is the antidote. It neutralizes the kappa, which is a poisonous element in the maror. Okay, that's the first opinion. The oruch is in, I put in the footnote here, which entry it's in. The oruch is, I think, in Italian, early Rishonim, gives an encyclopedia of the terms of the Talmud. The Aruch explains in the name of Rav Haigon that maror can give you stomach gas. It can give you wind. And unfortunately, people are in pain from that. And the charoses is designed as an antacid. It's there to help you settle your stomach. That's why we use charoses. Perhaps the most interesting opinion is the Tosfos, which brings down Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel, also a very early Rishon in North Africa in the 10th, 11th century. So he says the following. Look at this with me, number 7. Kappa. Peirush Rabbeinu Chananel. Tola'as. The kappa is a worm. It's a worm, which is alive. Kedetanya ha-tola'as be'ikrei zesim. And he brings a brisa that the worms which are in the roots of olive trees, or the ikrei defining in the roots of grape vines, the hakapa, you see from here, he says it's an insect, it's talking about worms, and the kappa shebiyerek, which is in vegetables, vayavchushin, and little gnats, shebiyayin ubechonex, which are in wine or in vinegar, hari elu mutarin, these are mutar to eat. These worms, these flies, are mutar to eat. What's going on here? So let me introduce you to this. Most of us know that worms are treif. Okay? We spend a large amount of time checking our vegetables to make sure that there are no insects and worms there. However, there is a whole category, halakhically, of worms and insects which are kosher, actually. And I'm not talking about locusts. I put in a footnote on the sheet, if you have access to it, there's a discussion. There is a group of insects. If an insect is hatched inside a fruit or vegetable, and it never moves out, and it never goes, crawls into the air, and never flies out, never kind of, the insects that sometimes fly out, come back in. If the insect is basically where it started, and it never moved, then there are many insects of that type which are actually halakhically kosher. I'm not suggesting you should eat them, and there's a lot more, you know, there's a lot more material halakhically to be said on that, but this kappa is apparently one of those insects, which is technically kosher. So what's the problem with it? But it's not good for you. So what happens? So you dip the vegetable in charoses, and the charoses will kill the worm, and better the dead worm than the live worm. Now again, normally speaking, insects are portrayed dead or alive. Here, the purpose of the kappa here is to kill the worm and to so that it won't be a problem. The chitema says the Tosfos, the chitema, and if you want to ask, debodik lehu shelo yehesham kappa, just check the vegetable. Why do I need to have a worm in there and dip it in charoses to kill the worm? Just check the vegetables and get rid of the worms. In kenamai tara charoses, why do I need charoses? Came in there like a kappa if I can get rid of the worms through checking. So he says, no. Shema baroi yirakas eimahem kappa. It could be that this is a rare infestation. Most moro doesn't have this worm in it. The samich shmuel aruba, and Shmuel was relying on the roiv. Since the majority of vegetables did not have this insect, he said you don't need halakhically to check it. Umishum sakana de kappa, but because it's dangerous to eat the worm when it's alive, chayshina lemiyuti. We're worried about the minority of vegetables. But tzarech charosis, that's why you need the charosis. Very, very interesting. We would turn around and say, well, I don't want to eat worms dead or alive. But, and by the way, halakhically, we paskin now that there is a mitzvah, even if the minority of vegetables are infested, if you have like a 10-15% of vegetables which are infested, there may not be a Torah obligation to check them for worms or insects, but there is a rabbinic obligation. So I'm not getting into now why Shmuel is not concerned about that, but Shmuel says on a Torah level you can eat this without checking it, but don't, because the worm is bad for you when it's alive, therefore dip it in the charoses to kill it. Really interesting. So that's the reason, that's what kappa is, that's what you need charoses for. Next, the next reason, the fourth reason, which I think is also, it's very unusual, very interesting, is in Pesachim as follows. People, some people felt that this kappa was some kind of spiritual danger. Have a look with me, number 8. Says the Gemara, when you go on from this little bit of Gemara into a few lines later, says, adahachi vahachi, whatever you do with this charoses and this kappa, neimahachi, you have to give an incantation. You have to say, kappa, you have to address it. Dakirnalach, I recognize you, uleshev bantaych, and your 7 daughters, uletam nikalatech, and your 8 daughters-in-law. Now, please do not ask me what is going on here. I have no clue what is going on here in terms of incantations. I am not, if you want to know about incantations, please speak to your local Orthodox Kabbalist, and they will tell you what this means. And we don't do this, obviously, but it's interesting in the Gemara that they, certainly in the Bavli, they were much more, if you like, open to these slightly more superstitious issues. And therefore they felt that there was a spiritual danger, and in fact the Piskei Harid brings down that that is what we put there. So somehow or other the charoses will neutralize it. By the way, and here this is where you're going to find something which may change your Seder night, may not, the Gemara gives another suggestion other than charoses. Looking at it, it's a neutralized kappa. Look at number 9. Amar Rav Asi, kappa dechasa chava. It's not just on Seder night, says the Gemara. This poison or the worm or whatever you want to say, that if you have it in lettuce, the best way to neutralize it is by eating radishes on a regular night. Kappa dechama, but there is a problem in the radishes. The kappa in the radishes, karti, you should eat leeks. Kappa dekarti, but there's a problem in the leeks, chamimi, you should drink hot water. Hot water is the remedy. for anything on this kappa. It's very interesting, actually. My great-grandmother, Alei HaShalom, I'm not trying to just bring you all of my family, you know, minhagim here. She used to swear by hot water. She lived till she was nearly 100 as well, so it didn't do her any harm. She used to drink a lot of hot water, just straight hot water. So says the Gemara, hot water will cure all of this. Why? Kappa de kulu, because any kappa in any vegetable, chamimi, hot water will do it. And there was a minhag, and I discovered this when I was researching the shir, there was a minhag brought here by the Ozarua. The Ozarua is in Vienna in the 13th century, the 1200s. Look at what he says about the matzahs, number 10. Shamati tam ledava she'oifin matzah shel mitzvah b'leil sheni. There was a minhag in Ashkenaz that they would bake fresh matzahs for second night Pesach. Meaning, once Yontef had gone out on first night, and they were having second Seder, they wouldn't eat matzahs from before, they would bake fresh matzahs for second night Seder, on that night, from the oven, hot out of the oven. Mishum da'amrib ha'perik avi pesachim, and he brings a reason, because it says in the Gemara, hai moror tzarelishkoi mishum kappa, that we have to put the moror into kappa, into charosis because of the kappa, perish erishel chazeris, and he goes with this idea that there's a kind of a sap which is poisonous, rabbe duchanel perish kappa tolas, and there's another view which is the worm, and the Gemara says, kappa de kula chamini. Hot water, hot things will neutralize all of them. Perish, erish al kol yirakot, all of this negativity, all of this sap in the vegetables, chamim refua lahem. Hot things are a way of solving it. Lakach oifim b'leil sheni, that's why you bake matzahs fresh for leil sheni. Kidei sheyu matzahs chamois vivaklu kappa shomaro. So your matzah will be hot. You will have hot matzah on Seder night, which will enable you to, the heat from the matzah will work, if you like, for the charosis as well. Which is really fascinating. And the Ramah, even though he doesn't bring this in Shulchan Aruch, he quotes this in the Darchei Moshe. The Chaim Minag B'Medinas Elu, number 11. The Minag in our countries is Lalush Matzah Shal Mitzvah Acha Chatzos Arba'asa. This is a slightly different point. But he said, even for first night Pesach, we only bake matzahs after Chatzos on Erev Pesach, not from before, because and by the way, that of course is the most dangerous time to bake matzahs. There's already an Issa Doraisa, Issa Min HaTorah of Chometz at that point. He says, yes, that's the point. Matzah has to be something that could become Chometz, and now is the time that it can become Chometz. We bake our matzahs Erev Pesach. Aval Shar matzahs for the rest of Yom Tov Oifin Kodem Lezeh, we bake before. Only the matzahs for Seder night we bake on Erev Pesach. And I don't think there's a problem here. Excuse me. Because of the Ozarua. And he quotes the Ozarua. The reason people bake matzahs on second night Yontef. He brings it down. That the matzahs will be hard and neutralize the kappa sham maror. The yesh lil mo bizeh, the tov lishmor hamatzahs chamim. And he says you have to keep your matzahs hot. Im Efsher, if you can, today li shamin min hakapa. I don't know about you. Has anybody in this shir ever had hot matzahs on Seder night? I suspect not. I know there's no heads nodding on the video feed that I can see. I've never heard of anyone having hot matzahs. You see from this, by the way, that they must have no, the shaking of the head there from Sam, thank you very much. They must have had another shake of the head. They must have had a fairly quick maggid, meaning if you've got to keep your matzahs hot, then all of the kids talking about all the gematrias of everything that they've ever learned in school since they were 5 years old, it would have been, come on guys, let's keep it going because we've got to keep the matzahs hot. By the way, of course, I mean, we don't even relate to this, their matzahs were much thicker. The matzah that we eat today has been pounded into submission, okay, and it's very, very, very thin. The Shulchan Aruch rules that the maximum thickness, I'm talking about thickness for matzah, is a tefach, which is a fist size. Can you imagine eating matzahs which were this thick, soft, thick, hot matzahs straight out of the oven, okay? Whole different experience. That, of course, is the origin of the minhag of gebrocht. The reason the Hasidim said we don't want to eat matzahs mixed with water is because if there's matzah which is that thick, one of the reasons anyway, there could be bits of dough left uncooked inside the matzah. And if there's dough inside the matzah, then that dough, when it connects with liquid, will become chometz. Now, today, there is no chance at all that there will be anything uncooked, unbaked, left in your matzah. The matzah has been smashed to pieces so much, smashed down, that it's not going to happen. But anyway, so maybe that's something we can think about. Every year we try to think of new things. So not only thick matzahs, but maybe hot matzahs. Okay, we'll see. When we go back to Beit HaMikdash Korban Pesach, we'll make put it on our list of to-do. Things to do that we want hot matzahs. Okay, where are we so far? Excuse me, I've got a bit of a cough. Old-fashioned cough and cold. Baruch Hashem. But we're doing okay. So the first opinion that we've seen here is that the reason for the charoses is the kappa. And we went through different reasons as to what the kappa might be. Let's go now into the second approach, which is know that the charoses is a mitzvah. And let's look at what that mitzvah could be. Look with me at the sheet. Let's share the sheet and have a go here. So what did the Gemara say? Look at number 12. My mitzvah. What is the mitzvah? This is now the opinion that charoses is not because of the kappa, it's because of its independent mitzvah. Rabbi Levi Omer, Zeicher leTapuach. What is the Tapuach? It's a remembrance of the Tapuach. So this is a very positive symbol. People often forget that charoses is not just a remembrance of the slavery, but it's a remembrance of the Tapuach. Says the Shir HaShirim, number 13, famous verse, Tacha tatapuach oraticha, I aroused you under the tapuach, Shama chibaltecha imecha, that's where your mother gave birth to you, Shama chibla yoladetecha, that's where the one who bore you had her birth pangs, Simeini kechoitam alibech, put me as a seal on your heart, on your mind, kechoitam al zarecha, Zorecha as a seal on your arm, ki aze kamavit ahava, because the love is harder than death. Kasha kishaol kina, the zeal, the jealousy, the passion here is harder than Sha'ol, than hell itself. Rishafea rishvei esh, it's cold, the coals of flame, a fire. Shalavatea, and it's a flame. There's a lot of passion going on. This apple tree, which is the place that apparently that God aroused the Jewish people, and that's where the women gave birth. What's going on here? Shir HaShirim earlier than this refers to a tapuach. Ketapuach ba'atzei hayar, like a tapuach in the trees of the forest, kein dodi bein habanim. So is my beloved amongst the men, the sons. What is a tapuach? It's obviously a mashal for something very dearly beloved. What is a tapuach? So Da'at Mikra, the version of Tanakh, the big white versions of Tanakh in the Da'at Mikra, Da'at Mikra identifies it as an apple, like we say, Pirus Malus, let's say there, the apple pear family. What does the word Tapuach mean? The word Tapuach means something to inflate. It's something which is inflated. And apples, okay, they start small and they grow large. Okay, most fruit does that. The problem is that apples may not have been in Eretz Israel of the ancient world. Apples come from Central Asia. It's not clear that they reached Eretz Israel in the time of the Tanakh at all. Oranges for sure, there's no chance. Oranges are very recent in the Middle East from China. Some suggest apricots for tapuach, although that's probably wrong too. We only have evidence of apricots from Alexander the Great. Others suggest, and I brought you a whole source on the bottom to a very interesting website that deals with this, that maybe it's like a hawthorn or a thorn apple, which is an ancient apple which is much smaller than the regular apple. And then in Second Temple times, the regular breed of apple tree that we know today actually came into the Middle East. But maybe it is some kind of an apple. Interestingly, the Targum on this pasuk here, Ketapuach Ba'atzei Hayar, the Targum, the ancient Aramaic translation, translated as an etrog. Just like the etrog is praised amongst all other non-fruit trees, etc., etc., so are you. And in fact, Rav Soloveitchik took the view that the tapuach was an etrog. And there are many Talmidim, Rav Shechtei one, of the Rav Soloveitchik that actually have citrus fruit in their charoses because of that. We will get soon to some more analysis of other things that are in the charoses, but it could be that tapuach is in fact an etrog. It's possible. The word, of course, apple. It is interesting. I'll share this with you. The word apple, just like the French word pomme, and the Hebrew word tapuach, may just be a generic word for a fruit. Think about what potatoes are in French, or in German. Potatoes in French are pomme de terre, and in German are Erdapfel. It doesn't mean that they're apples under the ground. Pomme just means a fruit. So tapuach also could be more of a generic word for a very beautiful fruit. Excuse me. And it's not necessarily just an apple. Okay, fine. What's going on with the trees? What's going on under this apple tree? So come with me back into Rashi and let's explore this a little bit more. Look at number 17 here. Zeicha l'tapuach, says Rashi. Shehayu yoldet b'neihem sham. The women would give birth in Egypt under the apple trees, beloy esef, without pain, shaloy, or without fear, maybe as well. Shaloy yakiru behem amitzrayim. They would do that so that the Egyptians would not see them. They would hide away in the fields. Dichsev, as it says, tachas tapuach horaticha. And Rashi is getting this midrash from the Gemara in Sota, number 18. Kevan shemagia zman moladeteim, or moldeim, sorry, when the time came for them to give birth. Holchot v'yoldot b'sadeh, and before this, by the way, there's a beautiful Gemara about how the women aroused the men and made them more interested in producing a new generation when they were exhausted from their work. But when they came to give birth, they went to the apple trees, tachat ha-tapuach, sh'neima tachat ha-tapuach sarotikha, ha-kodesh baruch ha-sholeach mishmei marom, and God sent them down from Shamayim, mishemanakim u'mishapa otam. The malachim would come to clean them, to straighten the limbs of the babies, like a midwife comes in order to straighten the limbs and to clean up the baby. This is an incredible symbol. This is a charoset. This is what's going on with the charoset. It is a symbol of the rebirth of the Jewish people in incredibly difficult times. And that's one of the reasons why Tosfos here, number 19, gives us a recipe for charoset. Look at what Tosfos says. He brings the tshuvas to Goyim. They explain la'asot charoses b'peirut shenidmei leKnesset Yisrael b'shir Hashem. There is a minhag to use fruits that are used as symbols to praise the Jewish people in Shir Hashem. Tapuach, he brings as one. Pelech harimon, pomegranates. Hata'ena chanata, to use a fig, because it talks about figs in Shir Hashem. Amarti el ebetamar, dates. Egoz as well, a ginat egoz, the garden of the nuts. Egozim are also, they mean walnuts. Shkedim, almonds. I'll send you shaked a kodesh baruch hu alaket, because God accelerated shaked is shakdan, is someone who wants to go quicker. God accelerated the geula from Mitzrayim before it was meant to be, and therefore these are all things that go into the charoset as symbols of redemption. And we'll see right at the end of the shiur, the charoset is ambivalent. It's not clear it's just a symbol of slavery. It's also a symbol of redemption. And I brought you here other ingredients over the centuries that are put into charoset: raisins, sesame, grapes, pears. Pears give the color of cement, we'll see soon. Chestnuts, pistachios, hazelnuts, vegetables, cinnamon sticks, ginger, cloves. Everyone has their charoset recipe that they default to. And as we saw before, it has to have this little bit of tartness from the tapuach. So that's one understanding of Zeicha l'tapuach. It's this incredibly positive rebirth symbol that the charoset represents. There is another angle to tapuach, which is quite different. Look in the Sefer HaOirah. The Sefer HaOirah is one of the svarim that came out of the Beit HaMedrash of Rashi, was put together by his students. Yesh oimrim Zeicha l'tapuach. There is a view that Zeicha l'tapuach means what? Keshehayu noisim. When they would carry hatit, the burdens of bricks and cement, al savaram, on their backs, hayatofeach savaram, their necks would swell up. It's not from Shir Hashirim, says Sefer HaOirah, not only. The necks would swell up, v'naseh mugleh, and would become infected. They would become swollen from the burdens, and maybe that's what the tapuach is as well. Completely different approach. And that's why there has to be a tartness. The Drisha brings in number 21. Gam kein kihui. You have to make it vinegary a little bit tart. kagoyim tapuchim chamutzim, tart apples, chometz and vinegar. Lama hutzruchu lachmitzu, dahainu peishkua. Why do we have to make it vinegary? Alavadai hayagamken zechel amoror. Because this is also, the tapuach also is to remember the moror. Shemoru chayehem, that they embittered their lives. They were scared that the Egyptians would take their children, the Misa, to kill them, or the Kloin, or even worse, as slaves. That's why we dip the moro into it. So you see already that even within the explanation of Tachat HaTapuach, there are different strands, there are different approaches. One approach is that it's very much a symbol of positivity, and one approach is that it's very much a symbol of slavery. However, it's not just the tapuach. We said before also, zeichel etzit. And this is what we're much more familiar with, and this is fairly straightforward, that zeichel etzit means as follows. Look here in number 22. Rabbi Yochanan Omar zeichel etzit. Fine. Says the Maharal in number 23 as follows. Hachi nam leman da'ama charosis mitzvah. This is according to the view that the charosis is a mitzvah. Lo metabo rak hachzeres. But we only dip the maror v'loi hamatzah. Now that's interesting. Who ever has heard of dipping matzah into charosis? The Maharal feels strongly that if people dip matzah into the charosis, which clearly they did, and we'll see comes from the Rambam, that's not correct. Why not, he says. The Lo Shai charosis b'matzah. What has charosis got to do with matzah? Ki matzah zeichel acheros. Surely matzah is a symbol of freedom. The charosis zeichel etit. And charosis is a symbol of slavery. How can they go together? We'll see at the end. It's perhaps that's exactly the point that they go together. We don't dip the matzah into the charosis, only the moror. What does charosis add? If it's the zecher to the idea of the bitterness, so what do we need it for? We've got the maror. The maror, he says, however, is that rakshim maror et chayehim ba'avodah kasha. V'yesh meriris la'adam ba'avodah kasha, aval eino meriris gomer. There is bitterness in hard, back-breaking work, but it's not devastating. It's not the worst. Lakach oisim zecher letit. That's why we need an extra. The charosis is zecher letit. There's nothing harder than schlepping bricks, concrete, cement. That's the worst of all. There is nothing worse than schlepping bricks, than schlepping, cement. And therefore, this combination of the maror with the charosis is the ultimate, if you like, representation of bitterness. And by the way, I'm going to bring you now a Rashbam. There's a bit of a question here about the girsa, but there was a minhag, you may be aware of, there was a minhag that people used to put brick dust into their moral, into their charosis. Actual brick dust. Anyone have brick dust in their charosis? No. And more shaking heads. You see? So you see all these things you can do now. You can have hot masses, you can have brick dust. It's a whole changing world. So where do they get this idea to put brick dust into their charosis? Look with me at the source. Says the Rashbam, Tavlin. Okay, besamim. They would put spices. Number 24 here into their charosis. Shematinim b'charosis zechel etzeven. To remember the hay, stringy spices like ginger, the cheres. And brick dust, shekoichim boy hadek zecher letit. Now, there's a question as to whether that should say cheres or charoses, and there were many later achronim, later poskim that objected strongly. This was a ridiculous minhag. Since when do we eat brick dust? We don't. That goes too far. However, that was a minhag. I brought you the shibolet, the shibolet haleket. The shibolet haleket was from the time of the Ashkenazim, just after the Rashbam, Bali Atosfas. He says the tzarich l'soimcha al shem hatid. You have to make it thick. The charos is thick because of the cement. For yesh meisim imba ma'at chomer or gredat levina. You should put a little bit of cement or brick dust zecher letit. And therefore, that was a minag as well. There is a third limb to this, which the Yerushalmi mentions, which is not in the Bavli directly, which is Zechel Adam. We saw last week there's a whole blood resonance going on at the Seder night as well. Number 26, the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yoshua, Ben Levi, Omar. So he says as follows. Tzricha shetehei ava. It has to be thick. Why? Milsa Amo, the reason he gives it, Zechel Atid. But it has to be thin. Milsa Amo, the reason is Zechel Adam. And the Korban Eze explains that it has to have a dip as well. It can't just be thick, it has to be a dip as well. And so to explain that the minag was to start thick and to go thin. And there are people that do this. Look at what he brings here in number 27. The Yerushalmi Amma is the Avdi Zechel Adam. There are other people that want to make it a remembrance of the blood. Umishum Hachi, and this is the reason for the minag, he says, Karele Tibuli B'mashka, that this is why it has to be a dip. It's one of the reasons we wash our hands as well. V'chein amadavar, and that's what the people do. This is what the people did in his time. L'smuchi, they made it thick at the beginning on Erev Pesach. U'b'shah sachila, and just before they ate it, makashi l'chol b'yayin, they would add wine. They would pour wine into it, v'chomets, just before they ate it. And that's how they made it thin. And therefore there was a minute that people would start with thick karosis, then add the wine at the Seder table and thin it out. Is there a problem doing that on Shabbos and Yom Tov? No, you can take a thick mixture and make it thinner. You just can't take a thin mixture and make it thicker. Fine. So again, I don't know if you do that. I don't know if you actually add wine. Maybe that's a nice minhag to add a little bit of wine to your charoses at the Seder table, to, as the Tosfos says, to take the thick thing and make it thinner. So bottom line, where are we holding? If it's a mitzvah, what is the mitzvah? Zechel Tapuach, which is an incredibly positive symbol according to most, although there is perhaps a negative element to it. Or Zechel Atit, which is clearly a negative symbol, or Zechel Adam, which is, again, is it positive or negative? So we saw last week, Dam goes in both directions. There's the blood that we shed in Egypt, which is clearly negative, but then there's the Dam Mila and the Dam Pesach, which is clearly a Zchut, which is positive. And one of the interesting things of Seder night is that many of the symbols that we have are ambiguous, and they're ambivalent. Okay, matzah. Is matzah a symbol of freedom or a symbol of slavery? The answer is, it's both. It starts off, halach ma'anya. This is the bread of affliction that they ate in Mitzrayim. And then it morphs into a symbol of freedom. Which is, this is the matzah that we ate because we didn't have time to make chametz because we had to rush out of Mitzrayim. So you see, matzah is both a symbol of slavery and it morphs into a symbol of freedom. Charosis, we saw, is both Zecher L'Tapuach and Zecher L'Tit. The blood itself is both a remembrance of the negativity and the schut that God has added. So one of the themes, I think, which is really important to stress on Seder night, one of the themes of Seder night is very much that the negative things that happen in life themselves are a source of incredible positivity, but you just don't feel it at the time. And we all know this with experience, that some of the dark points in life, which were at the time seemed extremely oppressive, can themselves be the breeding ground exactly in many ways for a positive outcome. And people can see later with the benefit of hindsight, just like Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem on Har Sinai, show me how you run the world. And Hashem says to him, you know, you can only see my back. You can only see me from behind. And some of the Meforshim bring there that the answer is that we can't see how God runs the world straight on. We can't see it in the moment. But sometimes when we look in retrospect, we look with hindsight, we see that the maror itself became a symbol of the redemption. And we've seen this time and time again. This is a symbol of the egg that we eat on Seder night. The more that you heat it, the more that you cook it, the harder it gets, which is an unusual thing to happen to food. And therefore, this is, I think, you know, something that's very important that Jewish people pass on to the next generation. This year, we feel it personally, that the hardships that we feel, you don't have to lose sight of the fact that these hardships can themselves turn into something much more positive in the longer run. We just don't see it at the time. Okay, bottom line. How do we paskin? Is it charosis, is it metzen, or is it mitzvah? What do we do? So look with me here at the last part of the sheet, and we'll work this out together. Actually, almost all the Meforshim rule, almost all the poskim that charosis is a mitzvah. Have a look here in number 29, 30, and 31. First of all, Tosfos 29. Tagrei Chagim Yerushalayim. Remember we said in the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok says that he brings a proof from the traders who used to shout out, come and get your spices for the mitzvah. He says, you see, it's a mitzvah to make charosis. Mashma, the implication of Tosfos is, the halacha ka Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok. The halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok. It's a mitzvah. But Gamzor Rabbi Yosef in Yukamor, and he brings various proofs. The Kena Asar Rabbi Yosef, Bitsidura, Charoses, Zecha, Latib. That's part of the mitzvah. The smank, Sefer Mitzvah, Gadol. Okay? Again, Bar Yatesis, Middle Ages. The smank was Rav Moshe of Kushi. Number 30. A Charoses Mitzvah. The Charoses is a mitzvah. Midivrei Sofrim, a rabbinic mitzvah. Zecha Latib. Sheyu Av Zemba Bo Mizraim, because the Egyptians oppressed them. The alkein sarashi he'av, that's why it has to be thick, etc., and it has to be tar, zeichel etapuach, but it is a mitzvah. The smack, the sefer mitzvah katan, Rav Yitzchak of Korbei, also Tosfos. Mitzvah la'asot charoses zeichel etit. It is a mitzvah to have charoses on the table. The hadam rinin hasam afa pisha ein charoses mitzvah. And even though there is an opinion that says it is not a mitzvah, what does it mean? Hachi perushu. Ein mitzvah ela gam chayva mishum kappa. It means it's not only a mitzvah, but it's also an obligation because of the kappa. But actually, ku is zekhla tapuach. He turns it on its head. He says the opinion that holds that it's not a mitzvah means not that it's not a mitzvah at all, that it's not just a mitzvah, but it's also an obligation because you have to get rid of that kappa, whatever the kappa was. So too, we find in the Mordechi. The Morchi even seems to suggest against Tosfos that you have to eat a kazayas of charoses. Look at number 32. Korachim babas achas va'oichlin. You have to put it together in the sandwich, in the Hillel sandwich. Perish hayanotel kazayas matzah. You take a kazayas matzah. Kazayas moror. A kazayas moror. The kazayas charoses. And a kazayas of charoses. Now, there is a girsa issue. Was it meant to be charoses or not charoses? But maybe there's a proof there that if it's a mitzvah, you have to eat a kazayas. Every mitzvah that requires achila requires a kazayis. And in fact, I don't often bring Hasidic sources, but here I think there's a beautiful one, Rav Tzvi Elimelech Shapira of Dinov, who is actually the Bnei Yisachar. He's very famous for the Sefer Bnei Yisachar. He writes here, look at number 33, Charoses mitzvah medivrei Sofrim. Charoses is a rabbinic mitzvah. You have to have kavana, l'kayim ha-mitzvah medivrei sofrim. You have to have kavana when you eat the charoses, you're fulfilling the rabbinic mitzvah. Where in the Torah says, does it say you have to fulfill rabbinic mitzvahs? Shal avicha v'yageicha or loisosor. The mitzvah of loisosor, which is the mitzvah in the Torah to keep rabbinic mitzvahs. Now, I'm not getting into this. This itself is a fascinating shir, and we should really have a shir on this. We talked about it many years ago, that the Torah, the Gemara says in Brachas, that every rabbinic mitzvah is actually founded upon the Torah mitzvah of loisosor, which raises the question as to, is there such a thing as a rabbinic mitzvah? Maybe every rabbinic mitzvah really is a Torah mitzvah, possibly two Torah mitzvahs, and that's part of the discussion between the Rambam and the Ramban, because the Ramban asks, how can it be a Torah mitzvah when we have all sorts of leniencies in rabbinic mitzvahs, which we do not have in Torah mitzvahs? The Rambam, Maimonides, seems to imply that there is really no such thing as a rabbinic only mitzvah, that in fact every rabbinic mitzvah is a Torah mitzvah as well. I'm not getting into that now. It's a really fascinating discussion which will take us into a lot of different areas. But just suffice it to say that the Bnei Yisachar says that as you eat the charoses, you have to have in mind that you're doing a rabbinic mitzvah, which is fascinating in and of itself because he clearly paskens that it's a mitzvah. Okay, what does the Rambam say? So the Rambam actually gives us a little bit of a conundrum, and I want to leave you with this sort of tease a little bit in the Rambam as to what does the Rambam really hold. Let's look together at the Rambam, and that's going to be our last real source for today. Have a look with me in number 34. Says the Rambam as follows. In the Perush HaMishnayos, in the commentary on the Mishnah, the Rambam talks about the Charoses in the following terms. He wrote this when he was younger, and later wrote the Mishnah Torah. Number 34. Hacharoses is, a taroves, is a mixture. Sheyesh bo chamitzutz, it's got bitterness in it. Okay, ein teven, and it's got little bits of stringy straw in it. Zeichel etzit. Okay, he's going to give a recipe as well. This is how we in North Africa in the 12th century. This is how we make charoses. Shoyrin te'enim. We take figs, or tamarim, or dates. Umavashlim otam, and we cook them. V'dakin otam, and we crush them. We pound them. Achish rachachu, until they get soft. V'lashim otam b'chametz, and then we knead them together with vinegar, wine vinegar. The nice and the sambal, we put in different spices. I'm not sure exactly what sambal is. Maybe it's related to zanzel, ginger. I'm not getting into all the details. Or kornitz, or azov, or we put in hyssop, belishchika, without crushing it so that it's stringy. Reb Tzadik, sha'amacharos is mitzvah, and Reb Tzadik, who says it's a mitzvah, according to that opinion, chayav ledaso, one will be obligated to varech to make a bracha, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah tzav v'tzivanu al achilas charoses. But that's not the halacha. Okay? So in the Perush HaMishnah, it sounds from the Rambam that it's not a mitzvah. If it were a mitzvah, you would have an obligation to make a bracha like you do on every other mitzvah of eating at the Seder night. However, when you go into the Mishnah Torah, he says something different. And it may be that he changed his psak. That happens a few times between the Perush HaMishnah and the Mishnah Torah. Number 35. HaCharoses Mitzvah midivrei sofrim. He says it very clearly. The charoses is a rabbinic mitzvah. Zeichel etzit, as a remembrance for the cement. Shehaya oivdin by Mitzrayim, because that's how they worked in Egypt. Ketzad oitin. I thought he gives actually a slightly different recipe. As he got older, he changed his recipe. Maybe, I don't know, I'm just kind of making this up, but the Rambam had two wives. By the time he wrote the Mishnah Torah, he had a different wife from, you know, what he had in the Perush HaMishnayos. Maybe by that time there was a different recipe in the Rambam's house. I have no proof for that. I'm just, you know, just thinking out loud. Loikrim tamarim. You take figs, or dates, or grogros, or figs, or smukim. He now adds in raisins. Okay? V'kiyotze behem, v'dorsin otam, v'notlim tuch hachomet. Okay? U'metavlim otam, and you put spices in, v'tavlim tamotit v'teven. U'mevin otam ala shulchan, b'leil pesach. Very nice. It's a mitzvah. So, according to the Rambam, since it is clearly now a mitzvah, what should you do when you eat the charoses? You should make a bracha. But he said not to make a bracha. And he doesn't change that psak. So how can he say that? How can he say on the one hand that eating charoses is a mitzvah, and on the other hand, that you don't make a bracha? And this is a question not just on the Rambam, but on all of the other poskim that we saw in the Balei HaTosfos, the Smag, and the Smak, and the Mordechi, and Tosfos themselves, that say it's a mitzvah. How can it be a mitzvah, and yet you don't make a bracha? So I want to share with you, just in the last few minutes of the shir, Rav Soloveitchik asked this question and says, how come it can be a mitzvah and we don't make a bracha? And he gives a beautiful idea, and which Rav Shechter brings down in Nefesh HaRav, and a very broad ranging idea which we can think about at the end of the shir, which he says as follows. We only make, he says, a bracha on a mitzvah when there's a ma'aseh mitzvah, when there's an act, when we do something with that itself to demonstrate the mitzvah. We eat maror, we consume it, we eat matzah, we light candles. Whenever we do that, we make a bracha, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah yisav v'tzivanu, al achilas, etc., etc. Says Rav Soloveitchik, charoses is a mitzvah, but it's not a mitzvah to eat it. It's a mitzvah to have it on the table. Beautiful idea. The mitzvah is not to eat the charoses. That's why he says you don't have to eat the kazayis. And that's why, by the way, when we dip the maror in the charoses, the halakha is you should shake the charoses off. Why should you shake it off? If you're going to eat it, then eat it. I mean, most of the people at Maisadar just want spoon after spoon after spoon of charoses. Okay, that you can have during the meal. Says Rav Soloveitchik, no, the mitzvah, the rabbanon of charoses, is to have it on the table. So it's there, zecher, all these things, to remember the tapuach, the ideas of the positivity and the redemption and the way that we created new life even in the hell of Egypt. To remember the slavery, to remember all of these themes from Avdus, Tacherus, etc. But the mitzvah is to have it there rather than to eat it specifically, which is a whole different approach. And he relates that very much to the idea of Sfirat HaOmer as well, which I'm not getting into now. I brought you, there's a link to an article by Rav Shechter where he talks about Sfirat HaOmer. And he says that the Rav Soloveitchik's understanding of the nature of a mitzvah And when you make a bracha and when you don't, also spills into this issue of Sfiras HaOmer. Just to leave you with this idea, finally, that the Rambam also says that you dip the matzah in the charoset. And again, as we said before, that's because these symbols are very multivalent. They both symbolize the slavery and they symbolize the freedom, and therefore the matzah, which does both, can connect with the charoset, which does both. Our minhag is not to dip the matzah into charoses, but again, once you've done all the mitzvahs of achilas matzah maror, you can eat gezunta heit as much charoses as you like, put it on the matzah, put it with your meals. We'll probably be eating it for the whole of Pesach. We always make too much, which is great. Therefore the charoses you can enjoy on an ongoing basis. But they're just some of the ideas. Think about what we've learned over the last hour. That charoses is not only a mitzvah, we look at the symbolisms of the mitzvah, but it's also a medical addition for this kappa, whether the kappa is the sap, or whether the kappa is the worm, or whether the kappa is some kind of spiritual negativity, which the Bavli says you have to make incantations over. There's a lot going on with this charoses, and there's more even than I've had chance to bring. But that gives us a little bit of an overview of the mitzvah of charoses, and we'll finish with that. Like I mentioned to you last week, if you're interested in more shirim of the ones that we had in previous years before Pesach, we talked about kidneys, we talked about gebrochts, we talked about women leaning, we talked about the size of a kezias, celiacs, and matzah, oat matzah. They're all on my website. You can get them on rabbimanning.com. So many of these shirim are uploaded onto the OU website, which you can access as well. And therefore, Baruch Hashem, there's no shortage of Torah from many, many people. There's something coming up on the chat. Let me have a look. Is there a question on the chat? Someone just said that they like the shir. Baruch Hashem, thank you very much. I'm very, very pleased that we didn't have technical problems. Let's hope that continues in that vein. It really is lovely to see everybody here. Baruch Hashem, we have nearly 60 people on the Zoom. I wish you all a happy and healthy week. A chag kosher v'sameach, a freilich and Pesach. You and your family should stay well in these really difficult times, and we should please God meet up again, hopefully in person after Pesach, but if not, at least at the beginning on Zoom, and have many more opportunities to talk together. I wish you a wonderful day. Thank you very, very much for joining in, and we'll see you soon.